WKGC, your local public radio station. Good morning. This is The Mix. I'm Tori Shea, hosting for our vacationing Captain Kirkman. And we're talking about plants this morning, herbs specifically. The University of Florida Extension Office, Dr. Marjorie Moore is here this morning. Hello.
Good morning.
And you are, well, we'd like you to become a regular. You came last year and talked about some, we did some canning talk. But today we're going to talk a little more about growing herbs and also some of the other seminars you have coming up. But Dr. Moore, tell us a little bit about what you do in your office and who you brought with you today.
Okay. I am the County Extension Director for the local office, and it is the University of Florida IFAS Extension Office here in Bay County. We're located at 2728 East 14th Street, and my background is Family and Consumer Sciences. I teach nutrition classes, food preservation classes, as well as some financial classes, but one of my main responsibilities also is to oversee the office. Today I have with me is Julie McConnell. Mm-hmm. Julie is our horticulture agent, and she knows a lot about plants. So don't ask me anything about plants.
Okay.
Julie.
She is handling it. And Julie, what do you have? What do you do throughout the year?
Throughout the year, I do a lot of different classes for both commercial landscapers and golf course industry type people. And I also do classes for homeowners mm-hmm. on gardening. And a big part of what I do is I oversee the Master Gardener Volunteer Program, and they do a lot of educational programs for me. Without them, we couldn't reach everybody.
Okay, great. And today we'll talk about herbs that we can grow in
yes.
Florida. And I brought my herb plant. It's being pretty quiet, but we do have it on the mic if they want to say anything. Your plants look fantastic. What do you have there? Tell me what you have there in your jar.
Okay, so I brought in just some things I clipped this morning out of the demonstration gardens that are at our office, which mm-hmm. anybody can come and look at anytime. Please don't raid the whole thing. We do need to have something left. But we have an herb garden that has rosemary, lavender, basil, sage, thyme, and mint. Also, there's some lemongrass and some other things I didn't bring. And then in our butterfly garden in the front, we also have some fennel. And on that, we've got a caterpillar here that joined us.
Oh, you brought a caterpillar, too.
I did.
Fantastic. Brandon, do we have an extra mic? No, I guess not. those are beautiful plants. I brought my basil as well to see if, you know, what you thought, if I did okay on the basil. It looked a lot better a few days ago. It got pummeled by that rainstorm, and now it looks a little bit sad.
Yeah.
But it's tasty. I've clipped a little bit from it mm-hmm. and used it in some spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
Because that is the regular basil. Last year,
yes.
I grew some Thai basil.
Okay.
And I just couldn't find the right recipes to put the Thai basil in.
Right.
So maybe you have recipe ideas, too, for the...
That would be Dr. Moore.
Dr. Moore has some recipe ideas.
Yeah, we do have good. Some recipes you can use. Now, basil goes well with tomatoes.
Yes,
and,
it does.
Tomato sauces, basil goes well with that. Also, you can put it in some other vegetables like squash, peas, also eggs, just to spice up your eggs if you're making an egg omelet.
Oh, yeah, in the omelet.
That's a good way to mm-hmm. Add some of your herbs. So basil is a good plant for those foods.
What about the rosemary? Chicken?
Rosemary goes well with beef.
With beef. Okay,
yes.
I haven't tried that.
Mm-hmm. And you can also...
Here's a little water bottle, too, if you want.
Okay.
And we aim to please. You can have water. We've got water for the plants. You know, either way.
Sorry, little sinus drainage here. Sorry about that. But rosemary goes with that. You can also put it with chicken, but it does mm-hmm. go well with beef.
With a beef,
yes.
maybe a little rump roast or something.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had breakfast yet, so I'm thinking about food. Dr. Marjorie Moore and Julie McConnell, both here from the University of Florida IFAS Extension Office. We're talking about herbs in the Florida garden, and we'll talk about some of your seminars coming up. Your office on 14th Street, but give me a landmark, because there are neat things people could stop by and see, even if it's not during the seminar.
Well, you know, we're located in the Cedar Grove area, right behind Cedar Grove Elementary School. Right off of 15th Street. If you are familiar with the Bay County Fair grounds.
Oh, okay.
We're about a couple of blocks further east. You turn right onto East Avenue, mm-hmm. and then the left onto 14th, and we're two blocks from East Avenue on
Got
the right.
It. Okay. All right. Fairgrounds, mm-hmm. turn right. And then yes. on 14th. Okay, yes. That's easy to get to. We'll talk a little bit more about herbs after this on 90.7 FM and HD. This is The Mix. WKGC, your local public radio station. We do love jazz, and Walter has a great show. This morning, it's The Mix. And you never quite know what you're going to hear or who's going to stop by. And this morning, we have Dr. Marjorie Moore from the University of Florida IFAS Extension Office, and also her horticulture agent. We're talking about herbs and also some of the various seminars they've got going on. I do want to come back to Dr. Marjorie, because you came last year and we talked a little bit about canning. And this year you are sort of taking that a step further and giving a seminar on cottage food preparation. Tell us
correct.
A little bit about that. People that make jams and jellies at home that might want to go ahead and right. sell them. How are you going to help them?
Well, this seminar, which, like you said, is August the 3rd, mm-hmm. and it is an all-day seminar, and it is titled Understanding the Florida Cottage Food Law. There is actually a law in place that you can only sell products related to that law. In other words, you can only sell what we call non-potentially hazardous foods, such mm-hmm. as jams, jellies, bread, certain types of cakes, and anything that doesn't require refrigeration or heat. And this training is just going to give people the ins and outs of what they need to do. And cottage food simply means it's done in the home. Mm-hmm. You can't make it outside the home and try to sell it under this law. It has to be done in the home. And
do you have to get a license? Is there a cottage food business license?
No. That's the good thing about the cottage food law, is that there is no license required.
But you have to follow the law.
You have to follow the law. And under the law, you can sell up to $30,000 annual gross income.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, that's very good. Mm-hmm. But, the law changed last year. It was no more than $15,000. So now it's double, which is very
great.
Good for those who are interested in making some side money.
Mm-hmm. Like folks that sell at the farmer's market probably
yes.
fall under the cottage food laws.
Yes.
Now, what can we sell or what can we make in our home, and what can we not make, and why?
Well, for example, I mentioned jams and jellies. Mm-hmm. That's one thing you can sell, but you can't have a vegetable product. For example, you can't sell canned vegetables.
No pickles. You wouldn't touch my pickles last year. But I'm over it. I really am. But I understand. It's not safe. It's not proper food safety. You have to have a commercial kitchen to process those vegetables,
Well, for the vegetables, mm-hmm. if you're selling, you need to be in a commercial kitchen and have a license. But under the cottage food law, it's those foods that does not require, as I mentioned, heat or coolness.
What about cakes and cookies? Is that okay?
Cakes and cookies are great, depending on what you're using on your cake. You know, you have to be careful. Some creams, you know, may not be acceptable.
Okay.
But for the most part, most of the cakes and cookies are
okay.
Acceptable.
So those are details you're going to go over in this seminar.
Exactly
where the line is and what you can have in your
That's
cottage
correct.
Industry.
And we have specialists coming from the university to help teach the class. And I'm looking forward to it, because it gives people in this community and surrounding counties an opportunity to learn about what they can and can't do under this law.
Yeah, and maybe motivate some new folks to make a little extra income off their delicious, because there are a lot of folks that cook at home that have delicious treats. And
that's true, but we want to make sure that what they are preparing is going to be safe for the public.
Sure. And this is going to be an intensive seminar all day long. It says 8:45 to 4:30.
Yes.
And you are hosting it. Who are you bringing to give us more in-depth info?
I'm collaborating with Dr. Suan, who's with the Food Science Department at the university. And she's been doing a lot of these trainings.
Can't hear her mic. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
I'm working with Dr. Suan from the University of Florida. She's with the Food Science Department, and she is in charge of this program throughout the state. And so we haven't had much of this here in our area, so I wanted to bring her and her colleagues here to help train individuals. I teach a one-hour class on this, but it's not as detailed as this workshop.
Okay.
And so she's bringing in Dr. Keith Snyder. Dr. Snyder is very much, his area is really into the food science and the why you can do food safety.
Right.
The why you can and cannot do certain things.
Okay.
And
I see you're going to do a little budgeting and planning
for
your cottage food business too. So not just the food, but
how to set up a plan for, you know, make sure you would stay within your budget.
Right.
And now I have a
And you're pricing it right. You need to determine
That's
how
true.
Much it costs to make
That's
you
true.
One jar of jam, right?
That is true,
so,
yes.
Okay. There is a deadline to register of August 1st.
Yes.
And the seminar's on the 3rd. How much is it?
If you register by the July 30th, it's $45.
Mm-hmm.
The 29th is $45.
Right.
And by the 30th, it's $55.
Okay. You want them to register early.
And they have to register online through Eventbrite.
Uh-huh.
And that address is https://cottagefood-bay. 2018.eventbrite.com.
Great. Do you guys have a website or a Facebook that links there as well?
They can go on our website at bay.ifas,
ifas.ufl.edu. Okay. All right. You've got a little bit of a hard website, but you just Google it. It'll come right up.
Well, I tell you what, they can call my office for further information at 850-784-6105.
Perfect. Just pick up the phone. Dr. Marjorie will help you. We've got some nice herbs also that Julie McConnell has brought. You're also in Dr. Moore's office. You're the horticulture agent. And we do want to talk about your plants and what would be the best plants to grow here in Florida if we want to add some herbs to our cooking. Tell me the examples you brought and some of the things you're doing coming up.
Probably the easiest herb to grow, in my opinion, is rosemary.
Hmm.
It's good for really hot, dry places. The sandy soil is perfect for it.
Mm-hmm.
They do get large, so you want to make sure to give them some space. Usually people will pick up these little quart containers at the garden center, and they're only about 3 inches tall, and they put them in the ground, and they don't realize they'll get 4 feet tall,
Oh, they're going to get wide. To be like a bush?
Yes, an evergreen
Oh, nice.
Shrub. So you can use them in the landscape as an ornamental also, when they just snip off what you need for cooking.
Are they still tasty when they get big?
Oh, yeah.
Tastes the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and they do get woody, and you can kind of do different things with it when it gets woody. You know, you can cut some of the older stems and use those as skewers for vegetables and meats.
Mm-hmm.
And but usually what I do is I go out and I'll clip off just the new tender shoots and use those.
Okay, perfect.
For cooking. And it helps it kind of fill out and get a little bit fuller when you're kind of pinching on the plant, so it makes them look nicer too.
All right, good. Jennifer, when we come back, we'll talk about some of Julie, I don't know why I want to keep calling you Jennifer. Julie McConnell, the horticultural agent from the IFAS Extension Office. We'll talk about some of your seminars in just a minute. I've got one song for you. Here's Tommy James and the Shondells on 90.7 FM and HD. Good morning. This is The Mix, Rolling Stones and Honky Tonk Woman. I'm Tori Shea. In the studio with us, we've got all the seats full. Dr. Marjorie Moore from the UFIFAS Extension Office, along with her horticulture agent, Julie McConnell, and my normal sidekicks, producer Brandon. You've been very quiet this morning.
Well, I had to go find something in the vinyl library.
That's right. So. I've been tasking you with a couple of things, so thank
I've
you for
been
taking care
some
of that.
Stuff.
All right, good. I'm sure you have some interesting tidbits, and also digital media student, Auntie. Your favorite auntie. My favorite auntie.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I've been quiet. I've been trying to figure out how I can acquire a green thumb.
Oh, okay.
I can't even
grow aloe. Do you kill
aloe.
Plants? You can't even grow aloe?
I know.
Some people are just like that, I guess. Julie, you said you have a gorgeous herb garden over at your office. Mm-hmm. And it was created by a master gardener?
Yes, one of our master gardener volunteers, Travis Duncan, when he was still in high school, he came to the group asking if they would be interested in doing a spiral herb garden. And I had never seen one of these before. And he took this project on full force. He found a design and he sourced all the materials, did the budget on it, gathered up volunteers to help. And they built this spiral garden that is 6 foot in diameter. Mm-hmm. And it's about 4 feet tall, I guess, at the tallest. And it's made out of brick, and it goes around, and it's got soil in there, and then they plant it around the spiral so that the herbs that need the most water are at the bottom, because, of course, the water's going to drain mm-hmm. down, and the ones that need the least are at the top. And he also designed how to plant it so that the ones that needed more sun exposure were going to get the southern or the western exposure,
right.
And then the ones that need least are on the east or the north. And it's doing fantastic. It's been in for just about 2 years now, I think, and it just requires very little maintenance, and it's just a really interesting little garden.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful. Yeah. Now, can we figure out what Auntie is doing wrong? I mean, do you have to water it every, you know?
Yeah, I do.
You got to water
stuff
it.
In dirt. Okay.
Okay, it goes in dirt,
I know that's
right?
That's always a good start.
And okay.
The green side up, right?
The green side of what?
Of the plant.
Oh.
Yeah, roots down. Roots down.
Roots down. Green side up. You take
so
the
you've made
off.
It. Have you made it that
yeah.
far?
Okay. Yes, I made it that far.
All right.
And maybe it has a lot to do with maybe just forgetting that I'm supposed to water in it. I don't know how I forget that. I mean, I have kids. And
yeah, you've kept them alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I just go and I have a daughter and my sister. They both are really good with planting, and mm-hmm. they have green thumbs, and so I just kind of go and I sit in their house and I kind of look at their plants and all. Then I go home.
Mm-hmm. What's the easiest plant? Well, for someone that's just thinks they don't have a green thumb, what are some easy plants to start with?
Honestly, I always recommend herbs.
Okay.
And, you know, you can do them in a container. You don't have to have a lot of space. The biggest thing that I see people do with their plants mm-hmm. is they love them to death. They water them too much. They put too much fertilizer.
Okay.
You know, they just think that some of them that don't need a lot of care need a lot of care, and they get a lot of attention.
Okay.
And so kind of the simplest thing to me is to start with an herb. You know, you can do it in a small pot or container like you've done with the basil. You've got to make sure there's good water drainage mm-hmm. because although a lot of people think, oh, it's not going to get enough water, it's going to die, too much water we get rot, especially with the humidity that we have here. So
okay.
you've got to make sure that the soil has a chance to dry out between watering. And if you put it somewhere that you kind of see it every day, it helps you think about it and remember. Mm-hmm. But you've got to check the soil before you water. So even if the plant's wilting, mm-hmm. which is also a symptom of overwatering, you got to stick your finger in that dirt and see, is it wilting because it's too wet or is it wilting because it's dry?
I see. Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, maybe you can give it another try. And maybe
yeah.
you have a class that she could take.
Sure. We do some different programs. The next one that we have is going to be at our office on Saturday, September 8th. It's uh-huh. a fall vegetable gardening class, and the Master Gardener volunteers are going to be teaching this, and they're going to focus on plants for the fall garden.
Okay.
Because we can do vegetable gardening just about year-round.
Really?
Yes.
What can I plant in the fall?
In the fall?
Because I missed the summer season. I just got a little
yeah.
bit lazy. I planted a little basil. I moved along. I just moved along to sunbathing or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, it gets a little miserable. I think most of them struggle about this time anyhow. Mm-hmm. But in the fall, we can do our cool season crops. So your cauliflower, broccoli, your lettuce, your greens, spinach. Those are some of the ones that, you know, we can do in the, you know, get in the fall and in the wintertime. And surprisingly, you can grow potatoes here.
Ooh.
But you don't plant them until Valentine's Day.
But that's
something that's kind of neat. You plant some potatoes around Valentine's Day, and you've got them by Memorial Day.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Okay. I could plant some potatoes, I think. Yeah. Can you do them in pots?
Yes, you can absolutely do them in pots.
Really?
And you're probably going to have a little bit less pest pressure if
How
you
big
do
of a pot do I need for potatoes?
I've done some in a 30-gallon pot, so that's probably about...
That's pretty big.
24 inches wide, so like if you can get one that somebody maybe had a tree in or something. Uh-huh.
Or one of those half barrels. Is that about the size of the whiskey barrel type?
About that size, okay. Right. But you don't have to fill it all the way up with soil. What you can do is you can put something in the bottom. Mm-hmm. You could put like old milk jugs, or I'll use like old nursery pots and flip them upside down so that I only put about half the soil in, so that you've, instead of trying to do enough for, you know, 3 feet by 3 feet,
right,
you can do, or as long as you've got probably about 15, 18 inches for potatoes.
Okay.
And or whatever you're going to plant in there, and that saves you some money too, and
That's
helps with
great.
Drainage.
I bet you have so many tips and tricks. And these are free gardening programs coming up September 8th, mm-hmm. from 9 until noon, and
right.
you're there. You'll tell us what fall vegetables we can plant.
Yes.
Okay. And then further, you've got one in October as well.
Yeah, this is going to be a new class we haven't done before. So Saturday, October 27th, from 9 to 12. We're going to talk about preparing your landscape for winter. And there's going to be a lot of things I'm going to tell people not to do that they tend to do, especially with their lawns.
Oh.
We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll give some tips and tricks and, you know, try to keep people from killing things. But we'll also talk about some plants that you could use in your landscape that have winter interest. So maybe some fall color, which we don't get a lot of here, but there are some plants we can use, berries, winter flowering, things like that.
Mm, great. Now, how did your office get started? How far do you go back? What's the history of the program there with UF?
Well, the University of Florida Extension mm-hmm. Has been around for over 100 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's been around a very long time. Unfortunately, I don't know the year it started here in Bay County, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
I've been around about almost 40 years.
Ooh.
So that tells you a lot.
Right.
But anyway, the extension offices throughout the state of Florida and throughout the country have been around for many years. And we have all of these services that people are not aware of.
I know.
As you can tell, some services we charge.
Right, and others are...
To recoup costs.
Sure.
And some we don't charge for. But it's all educational. And we have different areas. We have not just the family and consumer sciences, which is home economics, and of course our horticulture. We mm-hmm. have Sea Grant. We also have 4-H. Mm-hmm. And most people have heard of 4-H,
yes.
Head, Heart, Health, and Hands. And Dr. Paula Davis is in charge of that program, and Scott Jackson is in charge of our Sea Grant program. But depending on the county, you may have other programs that
I see
offered.
That pertain to that specific community. Well, you guys have come a long way. We appreciate the outreach. We've also got Brandon, who has going to take a look at history in this day, something we do every day on The Mix. And what happened this day in history?
Very big day. And this actually, I'm going to segue to the vinyl play with this because, you know, reasons. But this day, 1969, mm-hmm. big day in space exploration.
Oh, really?
Neil Armstrong and the Apollo 11 mission landed on the moon.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is a big day. So that's incredible. That was some really incredible things happened in that era, and the moon landing was certainly amazing.
Of course, I didn't know this until I just looked it up as well, but if you looked at the cost of the Apollo missions...
Yeah, how much did it cost?
I gotta find it again.
Probably not nearly as much as it's costing us now.
At the time, it was $24 billion. That's that
Wow.
Now, if
that's a lot more than I expected in 1969 money.
If you turn it into today's economy, $100 billion.
Wow.
In just the Apollo, in just one Apollo mission.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, it was a good day. We only need to do that one history. Sometimes we have a couple, but that's so big, it pretty much stands alone. And it reaches right into our vinyl play of the day, which, yes, we didn't play a record yesterday, but we're going to make up for it today. Maybe we'll play it. Maybe we'll even play a second one.
Who knows? But, you know,
go ahead.
The moon, you can't really walk. It's more of jumping. So for that, we have Van Halen and Jump.
It's on the mix on 90.7 FM and HD.
Listening to The Morning Mix with Scott Kirkman on 90.7 WKGC.
For today, temperatures topping out right around 90 degrees. Heat index values back up into the mid-90s. We got a 40% chance of showers and storms, but the best chance of rain is going to be away from the coastline. The winds out of the west at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Keep an eye on the flag system if you're headed to the beach today. For News 13, home of Viper Live Radar, I'm meteorologist Ross Whitley. For 90.7 FM and HD, WKGC.
This is The Mix on your local public radio station. I'm Tori Shea in the hot seat, joined by the University of Florida IFAS Extension Office Horticulture Agent Julie McConnell and Dr. Marjorie Moore. And you've got some great seminars coming up to outreach and help the community build a nice Florida garden, grow some herbs, can your food, and maybe even make some money off that. So Dr. Marjorie, help us recap and tell the folks how they can join in and get a hold of you.
Okay, we have the upcoming class called the Understanding Cottage Food Law, and it is scheduled for August the 3rd, which is on a Friday, mm-hmm. from 8:45 a.m. till about 4:30. And the cost is $45 if you register by the 29th of July, and it goes up to $55 by August the August the 1st.
Okay, that is the deadline to register, August the 1st.
Right, and you can register online. Okay. But I guess the best thing to do is just call our office to get the website.
Yeah, the link is a little bit long to say on the radio, but yes. If you go to their website or just give Dr. Moore a call.
Just call me at 850-784-6105.
And what if we want to get in on your herb or your gardening programs?
On September 8th, which is a Saturday, we'll have a fall vegetable gardening class. Mm-hmm. And then on October 27th, we're going to do preparing your landscape for the winter. And you can call the office at 784-6105. Also, we put a lot of our events on Facebook and then have links to get tickets through Eventbrite. So if you want to find us, it's Bay IFAS, B-A-Y-I-F-A-S. If you look for that on Facebook, mm-hmm. you should be able to like our page, and then that's the best way to find out what we have going on.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming, and thanks for teaching the community things. And like we said, a lot of them are free if you have a low cost to help defray. And Auntie wants to join you, I think.
Yeah, so your events that you have, mm-hmm. as well as you talked about the spiral garden, those can all be seen at your office?
Yes. So our office is at 2728 East 14th Street, which is the old Cedar Grove City Hall, and the gardens are open. There's no gates. Anyone can come whenever they like.
Okay.
Fantastic. Stop by and see our community garden there. And a butterfly garden, too, right?
There's a butterfly pollinator garden and this the herb spiral that we have.
And I just want to add that office hours are from 8 to 12. We close for lunch from 12 to 1, and then we open until 5.
Okay, great. And
Monday through Friday.
All right, yeah. No, you're not working on the weekends, so we'll stop.
Well, sometimes we do. But the office is not open on the weekends.
Gotcha. Same here. You're welcome to stop by anytime. We'd love to have you anytime on The Mix to tell us what you're doing. 90.7 FM and HD, this is The Mix. It's your local community radio station.